Oh, yeah. Now you let me in. As if.
It's just disappointing, you know.
It's not me. This is hurtful. You know what I'm saying?
It's not even disappointing anymore.
Are you telling me that Matt is pretending like you're not in the waiting room for a long time?
I was in the waiting room for a while. Yes, of course. That's what he, Devin, you know he's done that for years. What? Just because I don't say it every time doesn't mean it's not true every time.
Right.
Look at his fucking face. Look at his fucking face. I was in the waiting room. I swear to God.
Surprise, surprise. I had to
17 minutes.
Finally out in public, but
17 minutes.
I'm behind so many of Toby's failures. You wouldn't believe it. I know he has a lot, but a lot of them are actually me sabotaging him in life. It's one of my favorite.
I believe
hobbies.
It.
Remember when I said, hey, should I get married? And you were like, yeah, you should. Remember that one?
Yeah.
You remember that? Mm-hmm. You remember when I was like, man, I don't know if I should move from like Charleston, South Carolina, the one of the most special places ever, to Champaign. And you said, Champaign, go Illinois. You said, don't ever look back. you chose the words, don't ever look back. Remember when I was like, hey, this guy from Assy's Burn, their drummer, I don't think we should ever trust or attach ourselves to him. You know what you said?
I vouch for him. That's what I said.
And look.
Yeah. It's a long game. You'll see. Eventually the champagne will work out. You'll see. It's all long
maybe.
Game.
This is Lunsford's first broadcast from his new home.
Yeah.
In Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, it's been a journey getting here. I'm glad to be back.
It's been a few weeks.
But we're all settled in. So I was stoked to get here and hang out with my best friend Bridget.
Yeah,
I've been out of town.
Yeah,
you get there, Matt. Instantly leaves.
Yeah. Went to the park. Summer, okay. We took the kids to the park the other day, so that was fun. But it's funny. It was funny because I was like, we were gonna do like a housewarming party or something, you know, just do a cookout and hang out, try to get everybody to hang out. McDonald's and Josh Head and Chris Lott and whatever. And I was having to coordinate tour schedules to figure out who could come when. It's like, I'm 40. Why are my friends? What's happening?
We're kicking ass.
Did I fuck up?
Yes.
Or were they fucking up?
You
I don't know.
Who did?
I fucked up.
Could you both. Know you did.
Because I didn't get to go hang out with Jimmy World or.
Yeah, you didn't stand side stage at Jimmy World, one of your all-time favorite bands, right?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All-time favorite.
Let's talk about it.
So your job didn't do that.
Any worse or better, this you get to have your pick of how you'll take this. This either makes you feel better or worse.
Yep.
But Jimmy World was fucking awesome.
They were very good.
So you can feel good about vindicated about saying how much of a Jimmy World fan you are.
Yeah.
That you can feel vindicated.
Well...
in that regard, but sad because you missed it.
Yeah.
So either way, you want to take that.
In Tahoe.
I'll take the vindication there because I was really worried I was going to have to defend some bullshit tonight.
Yeah.
From y'all. Yeah. I really was worried.
Because
if
they weren't good, we would use it against you.
Against
if they just had an off night, we would come in and be making fun of you right now.
That's yes. True. Unreal. Right. Make fun of me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I've seen them.
Like your Canes take. It'd be worse than that.
Y'all are like, you know, actually, Amber Lynn.
Amber Lynn was good.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm sure they were good.
They were better
than expected.
Amber Lynn
older
was
older bands are better
set
than
was
younger
real
bands.
Yeah. Good.
I was texting Ridenhour about it, and he was. I was like, man, I was a little
so fucking cool.
I love that guy.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just I was a little skeptical of Tahoe as a location.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, man, this feels like bold and Outer Banks and Tahoe and even Hawaii.
Right.
Hawaii I got because I was like, all right, but you're trying to basically get a break-even trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, to
probably
Hawaii.
Is. And that's understandable. Yeah. But Tahoe, I was like, they're going to do Jimmy World and Tahoe. I bet Jimmy World costs $50,000 or something like that.
More
than that. Yeah.
Own up.
Yeah. So
keep going.
Like, that's like that felt risky to me.
Yeah.
But I was telling them how good it was.
They were stoked on the tickets.
It was like
6,000.
6,000.
Yeah.
It was so great. And it was perfect venue. Perfect venue. I mean,
it was unbelievable.
Couldn't have been better.
I mean, Jimmy World, though, so good. Like,
they're real. They are for real.
I hadn't seen them in a long time.
Now, I want a caveat here. For me, maybe I think Matt and Devin might agree, Jim Adkins as a front man is just phenomenal. I mean, down to his clothing. Yeah. We talked about this on part two, which you can, if you join Emberland, you can hear part two. He just did everything right. Like his clothing, his guitar color choices, everything. Like he was standing there. I told this on part two, but I'll say it here too. I was sitting beside, I was talking, Nate from Emberland was with me, with us and hanging out. And he was like, man, Jim Adkins looks iconic right now. And Jim Adkins had on like a long sleeve black shirt, dress shirt with slacks and black shoes. And he just looked great. And the way it's almost like he was a dancer in a way.
Yeah,
like
he moves cool.
Calculated moves. Like it wasn't like it was like the exact amount to pump you up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
His voice was great. He is the lead guitar player in the band as well.
He does like, the solos.
He does everything.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, he writes the music, everything. Devin said this. He writes some of his lyrics. Anybody else, it would be the cheesiest, stupidest thing you've ever heard.
Yeah.
It just takes some time, little bit of that. You know what I mean? Like that song in the wrong hands is the worst, but in the right hands, it's you like it. It's amazing. The rest of the band is just nothing.
Boring.
Nothing.
The drummer's good.
You don't
I mean,
see
they execute. I mean, they sound good. But yeah, I get what you mean. They're just kind of
placeholder almost.
But because
except
of the him,
drummer. Except
the
works.
Drummer's more than placeholder. What is your explanation of the drummer? I mean, I could talk about why I think he's good, but I think he's a special drummer. Why is that to you, Aaron?
Oh, well, he just makes good choices. That's what I think. I think of him as a person that could do more and has the talent and the ability to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, and he makes really good choices to serve Jim.
Yeah.
And the song.
Yeah.
And that's what I respect the most about him for sure. And he's just fucking solid. Like you feel like when he's playing, it's like, this is nothing to him. Cause he still has some like beats that are intricate and like weird and hard. But he makes them sound simple and never does too much.
Yeah, that's true.
It's perfect like his drumming. Loopy, trancy quality to everything. Like it feels like it's real fundamental. But but the other two guys wouldn't change the band if they were subbed out. But he is actually creates part of what the band sounds like. But the other guys take no attention away from Jim. Anyway, that was very good, and they were very good.
Can I say something there though? That's interesting to me because what Luntzer said. Hit the drummer makes the right choices. Do the other two members also do that? Is that how this band has never had a band issue or anything? They go, if we do this, Jim is happy. It helps Jimmy Eat World, which I didn't even think about that. That's his name, right?
Right.
The band is his name.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't even think about that until now. Jimmy Eat World, and he just leads it all. And they just do what they know is the right choice. So maybe they're all like that a little bit. That's interesting. That maybe how they made it is they just let him be who he is.
They know he's the talent. They know that. And they support that. And they just find their role.
I think I could be totally wrong. I don't know him. What I've read, it seems like Tom, the other guitar player, I feel like early on he was more involved songwriting because he even had some of his songs that he would do.
Oh, right.
Then I think they just, for sure. But I think then they just were like, okay, but we're just going to, let's just ride the Jim train here.
And it's good that they're long term of the same band and everything, but you know, it's just that they've been together a long time and everything. So that's all that works. But
Clarity felt even a little bit more like a two. Sometimes it felt like there's almost like a two singer thing going on a little bit, you know what I mean? Like they had a little bit of more back and forth and stronger second vocals, but yeah, that just faded, I guess, after during Bleed American.
From being influential early to just being commercial later in a way that worked out very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're great. It was so great. I mean, the whole show was Hawthorne, their crowd was big. and it so loud.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, like there's probably 5,000 to 6,000 people there, and I bet 3,000 to 4,000 of them saying, I can't make it on my own. I mean, yeah. It was so loud. I mean, just
it was
every
so
person.
Loud.
And, I've said this before, I think, but they are a headliner for 2 songs a night.
Oh yeah.
On whatever tour they still do, if that Silverstein tour, they were a headliner twice a night, like right. for 10 minutes. So
yeah.
Like bigger than Silverstein in a way.
Yeah.
For that 10 minutes. So.
Right. Right. I mean, it really did hit. Well, the song was a hit.
I'm not going to give away anything, but if they do it again next year, you know, you should definitely come, Lunsford. We stayed in a casino. Yep. We were right beside Harrah's. We were in Harvey's Casino.
I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was just a great spot. I mean, it was just perfect. And Lake Tahoe, we'd never been. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
But we're excited. But speaking of Is for Lovers, can we talk a little bit about some of that stuff we got coming up?
We got a lot coming up, yeah.
Because we are playing more Is for Lovers this year.
With Jimmy World?
Yeah.
I think they're on Ohio, too, right?
Yeah.
They're
Ohio or something, yeah.
They're on Cincinnati.
I think they're on two.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of other good bands playing. California, I think Thrice just got added.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And Thrice is on another one, too. Under Oath's on some. I mean, there's some good bands.
So they're starting to level up even more as it's getting better.
Yeah,
they could have made it bigger this year, but they're doing it slower. So you can, hopefully it keeps working out. So,
yeah.
But it's.
But we're going to be playing. Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. Do you just keep doing that until 1 year just is a disaster? And then you're like, well, good run.
It's possible. Yeah.
That's what happens, right?
Forever.
Nothing right. That's like forever, yeah. Cornerstone. That happened. So ride I'm not way. Meaning to play it, but I think you ride it all the way up, and then 1 year the people will tell you, hey, sorry, this is over.
Well, think about Warped Tour. I mean, it had some maybe down years, but definitely didn't like it. Yeah. Could have kept going, and it could. Yes. I mean, which the fact that it could have kept going and didn't means it can come back.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean? I mean, it could come back anyway. I'm not saying it even will, but I'm sure it'll do some more stuff. But you know, like. It definitely had some years that weren't as good, but it went out still while it was in good shape.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, Is for smart. Lovers, they did 3 last year. They're doing 10 or 11 this year. And next year they'll probably try to double that. So, I mean, it's slow, but it's increasing pretty quick, you know, each year. So, and they're doing it well. I mean, the bands love it. Like, we love it. I promise you, if you go backstage of a Is for Lovers Fest, the bands and the people will be hanging out as much as the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, they're just there because it's a great setup and it's nothing. They just thought through all the details and it's really good. So, but we are playing more of those this year. Outer Banks, we're going to be playing there. That's like July 29th. But we got some In Shallow Seas We Sail shows coming up also in July. We're playing Nashville July 21st.
Yup.
Birmingham July 22nd.
Yup.
Atlanta July 23rd.
Yup.
Tampa July 25th.
Yup.
Orlando July 26th.
Yup.
And Columbia July 27th. Now, we do have one other date.
Yup.
That. It might be up in the air a little bit.
Come on, Devin. Just stop. We just don't. That's the one we don't talk about. Can you just stop?
But if I don't say something about it,
you don't know.
Hey,
you don't need to say a thing. You don't need to say a thing.
But we're gonna be playing In Shallow Seas We Sail, and also there might be a little extra special secret. Well, okay. One thing is we're doing a pre-show of While Broken Hearts Prevail. If you're in Emeryland, it's free. Free. Otherwise, it's $40, and we will be playing While Broken Hearts Prevail acoustic, and it's really cool. One other thing that might be a little treat for some of you is we will have our In Shallow Seas We Sail live vinyl.
Whoa.
At these shows, and that hasn't existed until.
Shut up, Lunsford.
What?
You said cool in a really condescending way.
I didn't mean it that way.
Yes, you did.
I promise.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
No, you're on something tonight. You got
what are you talking about?
You got a little something. You're like,
Lester, shoot me straight.
That
shoot
was
me
a
straight.
Downward. Cool,
shoot me straight.
Upward.
Was that condescending?
Yeah, it was.
I swear to the Lord. Was it like a sarcastic
I didn't mean it to be.
We're talking about how awesome it is for lovers, and Lester's comment is, what happens when it just does bad?
Yeah,
that was your comment about is for lovers. What happens when it fails? It just fails, right?
Oh, no. Come on. I mean, Emery and Hawthorne.
You're on something tonight. No, I'm just saying.
Y'all both went way up.
No.
And you had to come back down. No. You don't think you're ever coming back down
and
again?
And now we're back. Maybe we're going back up again. Maybe
you
that's
are
a little
going
tough.
Back maybe up. That's come a, on. No, you are going back up. Yeah. But don't ever fucking forget.
But you know, in the sales world, you're going back down. You're at the top right now. Don't you know that?
I'm not even.
Yes, you are. Not. You know there's.
You think I'm at the top now?
And guess what the door's about to do? The trap door. And then, because if everything goes up, like you said, it must come down. And now you got to think about that when you go to sleep tonight.
I think about it every day. Every minute, actually.
Well, even though Lunsford was a little condescending about my shallow season vinyl comment. We are going to have those for sale at our shows, and those have not ever been sold, ever.
Ever.
Only in the live shows for a little while. So that might be an extra incentive for you to come to the show. So tickets are limited for the pre-show, almost half gone for most of them. You join Emeryland, you get that sucker for free. Go to emerymusic.com.
That's
and we've
right.
got more dates coming soon, I promise. We just have not finalized them, but they're getting finalized.
Come get it.
So join Emeryland. And what else do you get when you join Emeryland, Toby?
Y'all remember we were at the casino and
I can't hear that.
You don't hear anything?
No. I go on and on.
There
I
can't
understand how it lasts so long.
Y'all remember where you heard this song at the casino at
Blow the whistle.
Yeah, blow the whistle. Remember that
but
lady rapped
until you
every
turn
word?
The original sound for musicians on.
Oh, yeah, at the casino. That was cool.
Eh, it's not worth it. Oh, maybe it is. I just turned it on. Can y'all hear that now?
Yeah.
Yep.
This song
that song's tight.
Kicks ass. And that lady rapped every word for
it. Yeah, it wasn't even really a karaoke. It was just a DJ, but this lady just did all this whole song.
Me and Toby got back up in the dance floor.
Yeah.
Like college days, bro.
Devin, did you take your shirt off?
Damn cool.
In the dance floor?
Yeah.
No.
Too short. That's cool.
Too chubby for that. But I did do the dunk tank, and Matt, too.
Yeah. What else do they get in Emeryland?
That's what I was asking you.
You get 20% off everything, including songs and stories tickets, things like that.
You
20% off custom songs. You get our exclusive library of content, which always either grows or rotates things in and out of. It's kind of like the Disney Vault. White Line Fever is in there right now.
What?
I get emails and messages constantly. Where's White Line Fever? It is in Emeryland.
That's
so
where it currently is sitting.
Come
it might
get
be on Hulu, but right now it's in fucking Emeryland.
It's in Emeryland.
It might get licensed by Paramount or Plus at some point, but right now it's in Emeryland. And also, we have our video specials, which is the best stuff we've actually ever made. That's multimedia video and audio. It's like just if you haven't watched them yet. It's just what if you wanted to know what Emery was like, you could go get
if you
the
ever
media
wondered,
to find that out. Like from 100 years from now, I'd want them to just watch those.
Come get
and that's the week's end. That's the question.
Yep.
That's I'm only a man.
Yeah,
and Rub Some Dirt On It is in there, and it played in entirety. And is there another one?
Shallow Seas will
shallow
be
seas.
Soon.
Oh,
shallow Seas. You're
gonna
get it
soon.
First before everybody else.
The full video because that was a video like we have us playing that real
exclusive.
Audio is in videos just not edited together
exclusive.
Yet
exclusive
anyway all that's the Emeryland stuff and it just funded us making a new record we recorded 13 songs last weekend so
in 2 days
if you were, we'll just move on from here
2 days
yeah we spent two days like a half day Wednesday a full day Thursday and then a half day Friday and did 13, you know, we put down 13 tracks, finished arranging them and did them. We didn't finish all the tracks on all of them, but we got, you know, guitar, bass, drums, some vocals, all that kind of stuff in whole take. So I don't even know when, you know, what's next there, but that went fast and really good. And that's, you know, thank you to Emeryland for funding and supporting that. That's how we pay for the record we're going to make.
Lunsford is crazy. I mean, like we, okay, just a couple things about that I wanted to tell you about. But it's crazy because when we go in the studio now, we have, okay, so Emeryland has demos that we've made that are very, very incomplete. There's a few that are farther along. Toby had some that was almost finished as far as like lyrically and musically, but not arranged. And so I had just some ideas and things like that. And we would go start a song at the demo stage. And then we would say, is this song good? Is it, what are we doing? Is it worthy to finish? Basically is what, how I was kind of approaching it. And every song turned out really cool. Now, I'm not saying every song will make the album or whatever, but every song we got to completion and it was really awesome. And we got, it's so crazy because it feels more like you're just, it feels more like a session band sometimes.
Oh, yes. I thought it felt like a Motown band.
Yeah.
Motown. It's like, yeah. You come hey, in, what are the tunes? All right. Yeah. What, you got this, you got that. Okay. You do this. All right. Oh, no.
Let's just
you
feel the okay, groove. Let's get the vibe
one
going.
More time,
see what
two
happens.
More times. Yeah. Take it from the end. Okay. Done.
Yeah.
That was
and then basically at the end everything. Of the session, some were 45 minutes, some were 2.5 hours probably, but
probably average end, of just under 2 hours.
Probably just under two.
For a
yeah.
Session.
And
okay.
From starting at demo to tracked.
And at the end of each of those sessions, we would track the song. So it's pretty crazy. And we got all the drums done and a lot of bass and a lot of guitar right. And a few vocals, a few key things. So, I mean, it really felt good because it felt super duper productive.
And, we wouldn't have been able to do it if y'all didn't make the, I know we didn't get all the vocals and stuff, but if you didn't finish the vocals to the degree you did, we wouldn't have been able to know.
Right. Right.
So that was really the key. Yeah. That was like, I'm just so happy wow. That y'all got the, you know, right motivation to do that because for it was real. Like, there was no question whether we had it or not, because you could frame it by what you were singing to us or showing us or yeah. You knew you had, like, all the decisions were felt informed the whole time. Right. That's what was the key to it.
And there was a few things that you play musically and you're like, oh yeah, that fits better with this vocal idea or this or whatever. But, and I'll give a quick shout out to Jesse. What was the name of the studio? Sundial Studios. It was a really cool place in Redding, California. It was like this building with a bunch of offices and different
very
things.
Awesome.
And he had like a pretty, you know, not small, but not big, like a 2-room studio. And it was awesome. It was just so cool. And right across the hall from us was a private speakeasy.
Yeah.
Oh.
That he knew the guy and they were, and so every day cool. About 2 o'clock, the guy would show up. Well, every day being 3 days there, he would show up and open up his little speakeasy and we got drinks.
And Lunsford, he's days. Friends with this chef that yeah. Is just unreal.
And like, I mentioned cool. That sandwich yeah. To you.
The yeah. Sandwich.
You didn't tell us anything about it.
I didn't.
It's kind of hard to explain.
It's wow. It's unbelievable.
You would have loved it. I promise.
I came out and Devin goes, you have to do this. You have to take the bread, put the meat
on it. It was like
it,
a, was a brioche?
There's this sauce over there. Get the sauce all over. Like
it's pulled pork,
drench it
first
in
of
salt.
All.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pulled pork. So you have and one then, expectation of pulled pork, yeah. Right?
Okay.
Kind of
right.
Idea.
Pulled pork.
It was tri-tip.
And the sauce, it was just like
was
kind
it tri-tip?
Of green sauce. Yeah. It was some kind of green sauce. Like almost
sorry.
Like.
Like a chimichurri?
Yeah. Yeah, more like a chili type salsa, but
it was
wasn't thin. Salsa. It was definitely a more like a it's a weird almost like au jus sauce.
Yeah,
like
where it was a broth. He called it a broth. Actually,
yeah, it was more like that okay. Where it just
and that
up
was
the bread.
Where he said all the spiritual yeah. Stuff yeah. Was in and the sacred knowledge.
And then
that
we
really
put pickles on it too. He made
stuff.
These pickles, which I'm sure that he.
The pickles
himself.
Were delicious.
Pickles
were
like,
on
he
that
talked
sandwich.
About the pickles for a
pickles,
while too.
But the,
homemade,
he came
guy,
and met us and he talked. He got very spiritual about food.
This guy's wow. Like a he's like a like the food you could compare it to like James Beard like kind of stuff where it's all about the like everything about it was special. It was a local mm-hmm. And this herb
right.
from something in sacred like in the area of North and Redding.
Yeah.
Like it was all like thoughtful and intentional at freaking. Insane levels basically right. But it wasn't fancy at all it, and yeah. So then we had ate the food for 2 days and then the guy comes and it's like the guy walks in and you wouldn't think this is a chef or whatever it was but he looks like somebody who you know just got out of jail or is in a gang or something like that. It's very scary, like not scary because you could tell it's one of the sweetest type of people. It was very soft-spoken but mm-hmm. Had like very aggressive tattoos and look to him and he was very big and bald and young
yeah
But and so just an interesting guy. But he was saying that the, you know, it's all about these sacred herbs that he gets from here and his five generations of knowledge of generational knowledge in this broth that he makes, and it really opens you up. And the, you know, how it was affecting us and the music we were making. He wanted to be part of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they were all like, about it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Toby, best food ever. Toby had. Liked this.
Well, Toby, well, we already were the biggest believers in the food ever before we ever met the guy.
We've been eating the food
for 2 days. It's the best taste ever.
Like, wow,
had.
This is good. Yeah.
And tasted that sandwich. In, you can't not agree with him.
After I tasted that sandwich, I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. Like, it felt like, wow, this is something different. This is something special. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he was talking about like they handpick the herbs, they grow from, they have some kind of thing with connection to Mount Shasta and the water.
Yeah, it's like Shasta and all mountain that stuff. Men culture mixed with okay. whatever. It's like, you know.
And he pulls people everything. From like small cultures and that are really good cooks and all this. Like, he's like, I don't just hire chefs. I like find somebody in the village in this area. So he's all crazy about that stuff. But I mean, I promise wow. you, and I know you've had a lot of good food in your day, but I promise you, this was an exceptional sandwich. It was
I believe you.
Very high level. And it was so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, everything he made, time. Like this little whipped cream on the side that he made. Homemade whipped like, cream. It would freak you out how good mm-hmm. every little thing he did was. But yeah. And so I don't even know what really, but it was something, there's something about food like that. Where it's similar to music or other stuff, where it's like the people that really care about it, you know what I mean? Like he likes food in the way somebody likes music or whatever.
Yeah.
Where it's really, you know, you can tell it's just about make the craft of it for his own
yeah.
self more than a restaurateur. Right. But he's very not. It wasn't like fancy food at all.
No,
sure, that's cool. So,
but it was very cool. I mean, we had a really good time.
The chocolate cake was it was a peanut butter chocolate cake. It was, and it had like little peanut butter cups in it, like little tiny Reese's. It probably was Reese's. I don't know, but, and it just, it was so good that I went back for a very large second piece, and I was so full when I went back for the second piece that like, it was unbelievable. Like the next day I pooped like 7 times before noon.
Anyway, the studio was sundial.
Do you hear me?
Jesse,
that's how good this food was.
Yeah, it was so good.
Do you hear me?
But it's Jesse
but you
Lawson.
Know what?
He's from the band.
Sometimes the food's really good, but you know, one day, what happens when the food isn't good? Am I right? What right. happens when it? Yeah. The food's really good right now. What happens when it isn't? And everybody's just like, "Oh no, this isn't good."
Sorry, guys.
Anyway, right, thank you to Jesse. Jesse's from the band Sleeping with Sirens, and so. And he was in the band. He's not in the band anymore, but that's his studio. So if you're ever in Reading and need a studio, that's the place to go.
It was great. Cool. It was great.
All right, we're going to do some rocking and roasting.
Yeah,
I think so. Lunsford, you've right. roasted and rocked, haven't you?
Time. You've roasted
the original rock and roast. Yeah,
oh,
from
right.
the first
sorry,
episode of that.
You missed a few. I'm sorry.
I didn't know y'all did more. I've been
no,
on two.
I don't think we did any without him that we didn't
we
roast
did one with McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, we did okay. one with McDonald. Yeah,
and we did
right.
one with just ourselves.
McDonald had some really good, insightful comments on that one. I meant to tell him that. I thought he did a really good job on that.
Was that a dig at Lunsford?
No.
Yeah, what?
No, I'm complimenting.
It felt like a little dig.
No, I think Lunsford does a good job, too. Lunsford is like the Simon Cowell. He will talk shit.
He's the Simon
but
Cowell.
He's worse than Simon
Cowell.
Simon
Cowell is the most useful.
You want to. Yes,
that is true.
That's what I'm saying. But also, you want to talk shit, so you're leaning more shit want, talk. Yeah,
I don't believe
it. You
I said, no.
are. You talk
absolutely
shit.
Not.
You talk shit.
I like to talk shit for fun.
You
I'm not
love
trying.
Talking shit.
Yeah,
it's everything about you.
Do, you
love
you
talking
do too?
Shit.
I'm gonna send you some Mark Driscoll Instagrams
no.
later. Give you something to really get fired up about.
You love talking shit.
So I
but,
am this.
But also, I believe you. It's not shit talking. That's not true.
So this rock and roll is my first one going in blind. I didn't get a chance to listen yep. beforehand, so yep. I'm listening in real time, which I think might be better. We'll see.
Oh, yep. yeah. So,
might be.
Yeah. You,
okay,
you didn't
well,
prepare,
first
so
band
be
is Bright Yellow Death Box is the name.
Bright Yellow and, Death Box.
Right. And you ready for the song title?
Yes, I am.
Suicidal Hallelujah.
Wow, they're really going for something.
What's the
name
of the band again?
And the song name.
Bright Yellow Death Box.
That's what Lunsford calls his pubic hair.
Okay.
I don't understand that joke.
That joke makes no sense.
That's why it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I will roll this one. It's
bright,
coming from
death
YouTube,
yellow.
So I'll try not to talk too much about the video, but I'm going to roll the audio. Tell me if you want the volume adjusted when it kicks in here.
Okay.
It starts with 15 seconds of silence. So
it's a good start.
Well, there's like an I don't know. There's some
like a countdown.
No, it's like some text on the screen and pre-roll stuff with no audio at all.
But it's for the song.
Kind of credits. Here we go.
There we go.
That?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm kind of digging.
Got a horror
this.
Movie look to it.
Yeah.
The stuff I'm just looking at looks like horror movie.
Okay.
It feels like a little B-52s ish.
Down a little bit so you talk over it.
Yeah, it's like New Wave, the Smiths.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. You're nailing it because he's dressed exactly like Robert Smith pretty much.
Okay.
Like, I mean, not like dressed like, but very much it looking that way. But a little bit bigger, a little more like a metal dude being Robert Smith, basically. But you got it. Keep going. What else do you hear?
Can you turn up just a tad for me?
Yeah. I think he's...
This is like a type of music I don't know enough about where I feel like, is it good or is it bad? Like, if somebody who was super into this style of music would think, oh, is this sucks?
What style of music is it?
I don't know. It's like nothing I listen to, really.
Yeah. Feels like 80s punk, kind of, or like
mixed
between 80s music and punk.
It's like goth. It's very
goth pop.
It's like 80s goth punk light, but it's
Billy
not old,
Idol,
but, yeah.
That's what the vibe.
Billy Idol, yeah. Not that unrelated to Billy Idol, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely like kind of Billy Idol. Yes, that's maybe it's cool.
That's what I'm saying.
It seems it's cool, but in some way, but
there's something
the visual
kind of confidence about it that I like.
Yes,
there's a confidence.
It's bold.
To it needs a little bit more character in the vocals, maybe. Like, you know, Billy Idol has like
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe even in the music, too. The music, everything about this is really toned down. And
it's not much happening other than...
Yeah, and you're right. It feels like it's kind of almost nailing it on the head too much. I wish they were more creative.
Yeah.
It's definitely nailing the context overall that it's trying to be in, though. So it's cohesive. It just doesn't...
No, for sure.
The focus of something to stand out isn't grabbing you in that way.
Yeah, if you told me it was from 1987, I'd be like, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
But somebody like Billy Idol or the B-52s, or they would have another element. Like the vocals would be a little bit more capturing, and there'd be like something happening with the guitar or a keyboard or something.
Nothing's bleeping out to
just
take
nothing's happening.
That's nice that you said you referenced B-52s because it is kind of like the B-52s, just very dark.
Yeah,
but yeah, it is kind of got that. Pretty cool. I don't know how old it is, but it's not. I can't be old. I mean, it seems like it's new, and it basically no play, so nobody even knows about it. But it's up there, and
the
video's got a lot of work put into it.
That'd be funny if this was like a 60-year-old listener, and this was his band in high school.
That would change your mind so hard.
The context does matter there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you knew this was written in the 80s and it was some guy was sending it in to us, that you would go, well, that was actually kind of good.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it could be from something or something, like something somebody made, just a background music of a movie about a time period. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had to make a background character music for something, you would come up with. Anyway, it was cohesive, which is a compliment for sure to me.
Yeah. I don't know how, you know, that really captures a new audience. You know what I mean? It's not. Yeah, there's nothing fresh enough about it to where it would ever be relevant now.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Says spooky dark wave shit is a description. Dark wave. So dark wave might be the
dark wave.
Like, so people that are into dark wave might actually tell you it's top tier
dark wave
choice, or maybe not. I don't know.
Dark wave.
Anyway, if you like that, look, check out dark wave, the genre.
Yeah, I can't really talk shit about it. It's not,
I mean,
there's nothing egregious or
It's just kind of boring to me is all. Like,
yeah.
It had a decent vibe to it. It's just I got lost after the first verse, chorus.
Good though.
Not bad.
Matt's right. If you needed, if you're doing an indie film and you needed something that sounded like that,
right,
for cheap, hey, I need a Billy Idol sounding song here, The Cure, The Smiths. Like, oh, okay, this would do
you
it.
You could see it in a movie.
So he should actually, all right, here's my advice. He needs to do music licensing.
Licensing, yeah.
And write songs like that that are more, even a little more generic. And
that's all licensing music is. Like, you know, you hear the music at the Gap, and it's like, it's very somehow good sounding or commercial or something, but it's not at all like something you would remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or notice. You just feel it as like good in some way. Like, you can't say anything that's wrong with it, but it's not, you, there's nothing that's getting you on any level at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I'm not, exactly, you know what I mean? Right. Something like that. And you kind of want that in licensing, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Unless you want people
that's
to know
good.
The song.
That's good advice.
Okay. Next band is called Hosey Modis.
Hosey or Hosey? What's Hosey?
Hosey Modis. H O S E Y.
Yeah.
And then M O T I E S. Hosey Modis. I like the sound of it. I like to say Hosey Modis. Hosey Modis, what did you do today?
Hot Toe Moses.
My dad
always said hot toe. Did y'all dad say Hot Toe Moses?
Yeah, he said Hot Toe Mighty and Hot Toe Moses.
Hot Toe Mighty. What does that mean? Where's the hot toe?
I think it just takes the place of God, doesn't it?
It's basically replaces God Almighty.
God Almighty.
Hot Toe. Yeah. The God Almighty. Why is that so underdone?
Hot Toe Moses. My dad was like, Hot Toe Moses.
God Almighty. I never heard that anymore.
But somebody says God Almighty. Somebody says that like full bore.
People used to say
so
that all the time. I know. That one's got to come back more.
God Almighty. Like, what do you say that
I used to hear that when I was little so much.
That's somebody just backed into your new truck.
God Almighty.
You know what I mean? In the parking lot.
God Almighty. Almighty. Got to roadie.
God Almighty.
Hot tamale, they say. And then they go to, eventually they're saying, well, Hosey Modis.
That's funny that is a, like.
Hot Almighty. That's swear. A Hot Almighty is God Almighty.
It's weird that that's taking the Lord's name in vain, though, because you're saying God Almighty. It's like you're being sarcastic.
Yeah, it's not.
That's the only way that could be. Otherwise, you're calling him Almighty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so no, but you're crying out to him for something trivial.
Right. Yes,
yeah, in vain.
I thought it was more like you're just saying God Almighty, like instead of.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you have some hot sauce that's a little hotter than you thought, and you called the name of the Lord down by the Almighty. That's like in vain.
You called the Almighty.
God Almighty, I need help here with this, and it's nothing. It's trivial. So that's in vain with which you have summoned the Almighty Lord.
That'd be funny if God was obliged to like do one time you call out, he will show up. Which one? You know what I mean?
The one time you called, it was like because your kid still didn't pick up the Legos. Yeah.
Right. That's
he's like,
Jesus, help me.
Okay. Right. God
maybe
Almighty,
that's what actually happens.
It shows up. He's like, what did you need me for? I'm here. Well, he didn't put the Legos up. Can you help? It was okay.
That explains
that was your
why
one.
Some that people get, why some people get healed and others don't. What if God really did that? He shows up one time in your life. And if you blow
it,
some people, the only time they called on him was when they had cancer. And some people called on him when, they were out of.
They hadn't used theirs yet. Then
steak.
Fine.
Or they needed $5 and they found it. Or so, you know what I mean? Like, maybe he just shows up. He's like, I'm just going to show up when I show up. There's a big line.
I used mine the first time I drank sweet tea in a red glass and thought it was Coke.
God Almighty.
That was it.
All right, who's our second song?
Hosey Modis.
Oh, Hosey Modis. Okay, what's the name of the song?
Hosey Modis.
Hosey Modis. Okay. The song.
Hot Toe Mighty. Y'all ever say that?
Yes. Yeah. We just talked about that.
That's what we're talking about.
I know. I was trying to get the circle to happen again. Okay. I was trying to get us back in the circle.
Oh, back in the circle.
Back in the loop. Okay, this song is called My Direction by Hosey Modis.
Hosey Modis.
My Direction.
For the 80s.
Oh, shit. Now that is a DI
sound.
What
we got going here?
Yo, Simba.
Super DI guitar.
Oh, fuck this song.
I'm vibing to it right now.
Sugar dookie, sugar dookie, sugar dookie.
Okay.
the rhythm is not good. No, the rhythm is killing me. And then where that...
Shut up.
Well, that fixed the rhythmic ambiguity that was driving me crazy, at least.
It does have my head bobbing. My head is
now it's got some
moving.
That's weird.
Really
it's
raw
so weird.
Recording, like on the acoustic. There. Yeah.
This song sounds like whenever the guy does like the loop trick.
It sounds like all the parts. At,
yeah.
On the beach.
All right, I'm gonna record all the parts for the song.
Right.
They're all
yeah.
gonna be on
yeah,
my
I
loop.
Right.
Now I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe it is.
It might be exactly that.
Oh.
All right, where are we going next?
Like, instrumental.
Oh, here
it's
we
like
go.
The bank robbers.
Here we go.
With it.
Oh. You didn't see that coming.
He still got the swoop going.
I like this. I kind of like this.
Oh, he stayed down there.
This song feels like Austin Powers sang it. Or maybe. Yeah, baby.
That's the big swoop.
Is that underwater?
He went underwater.
Oh my god.
What? No, thank you. Dude.
Oh my, wow, what a choice.
Wow, that's a bold
wow.
choice
bold.
For the dropout chorus.
Bold.
That no nice. Return. And go to put the lead vocal to a ring
and you still heard
So this guy, he loves Matt Bellamy from Muse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Loves mm-hmm. that guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yep. some of the later Muse stuff on their later albums, they have some songs that are kind of Spanish acoustic guitar type stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so it's, I think he's obviously kind of ripping on that, which is fine. But, yeah, he can't sing near as good as Matt Bellamy is.
No.
The main problem, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me, it was like, I could see potential in like the song, even. Like, it wasn't like the worst written song I've ever heard. The vocals were bad in the sense of repetitious and they were a little goofy, but it wasn't like, I didn't feel like he was a really bad singer. It just felt like we're doing the same thing over and over. And it's
predictable.
Kinda,
the predictability yes. was too high.
Yes. And obviously the recording quality is really bad.
Well, that's the weirdest part is it does seem a little bit like a improvised looper, just the rhythmic ambiguity for the first half. It was almost cool when the well-timed instrument strong things came in because it made me feel some relief from the weirdness of those other rhythms. That kind of like that something about me makes now I'm thinking about how I like that bad rhythm at the beginning in a weird way. So something kind of cool to that because it was I felt like it was bad and this weird gross DI sound and then it got something that felt kind of good for a little bit and then they tried to kick it big but didn't quite pull it off, you know, the vocal swoop and then the complete left turn for the undersea ending.
Yeah, I know the undersea. It went underwater.
Yeah, that's just goofy.
I felt like it was made for a movie. That's the way I just kept hearing it. It felt like something that would be behind, you know, some scene that was kind of a movie that was like half comedy mystery or half, you know what I mean? Like a little quirky part, a little quirky movie or something. That's what I felt like. Or I think you're right. I wish he would have gone a little bit more like on the, like that 90s vibe or something, like a more like a Soul Asylum or something, you know, like Runaway Train or something like not, I know those, the songs were different, but the way he was doing it, it was a little too poppy and not to match with the lyrics that were seemingly a little darker or something. So I don't know. I wish it had been more like that. Little rock than that, whatever it was.
It's that colorful. Some of those chords are colorful, like Fastball, the way you know, you have those major three chords or whatever they are. Or, and then, like, you remember that band Matchbook Romance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember that band? They had some of that in one of their albums. It's a little bit more of that. It kind of gives it, like Lunsford said, a little bit of a Spanish vibe to it sometimes.
And you know, Bayside has that a little bit.
Bayside has that. Yeah,
I've picked that picked up after watching them this week. I just felt and a obviously little bit Muse. Of that. It's like dark.
Yeah, it's dark something. But colorful or something.
Yeah,
like Muse is obviously the biggest.
Yeah,
one of those. I mean, that's just what they do. But like if we had been working on a song like that or something after the beginning, that's a little confusing and weird. Something real strong, like you said, like when it goes to the different drum thing and something else happens. That's where a real cool lead part comes in, like you know, like a Killers or some kind of thing there, and then you add
like a killer bass part.
Yeah, right.
It could have had a like groove, a loopy thing,
some kind of groove
melody over it.
Yeah, and that would have helped. That would have helped.
And then you could have gone to just a big ending and ended with the big rock band that came in for the last quarter and ditched the very end. Yeah,
man. Sometimes this shit, like this thing we do here, the Rock and Roast. Like, I'm so turned off by a song on the outset that it makes it hard to see the path to try to help.
Yeah, and you have to undo it a little bit. You've got to walk yourself backwards through it a little bit. You can maybe find where it went. Could have.
That's like the most emotional thing I've ever heard you say.
Well, I mean, God
say that
damn
again?
It makes me
on the path of a song. It makes it hard to see how you could help.
How could I help?
That's some deep ass fucking shit.
It's a
that's bigger than rock and roast.
It's a postmortem.
That right there is bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not assuming that the song's going to take off now. So in a way, you're looking at, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's probably, it kind of is kind of a, maybe a little bit of an autopsy.
I would love to do a call to action if we can to be like, hey, is anybody currently like, because I feel like a lot of these songs are, it's over. And you're never getting better as a musician. You're not even trying anymore. And, you know, really, this is all just for entertainment. But it'd be cool.
But there's some potential was there. Yeah. And there's still, you're supposed to learn from it. So you can still learn. They can still try again. And other people can learn from it. And it's
True. I'd love to know that we are getting a band in. And like, hey, we play shows. Like, this is a demo. We're active.
But it's it's too late. Cool. On certain songs, though, you can give reactions to stuff that can be people can internalize to use, but like that's what the problem we were having in the studio, or have had in the studio that we're really getting at fixing is this thing where it most occurs to Dave because Dave has this thing where he wants to know the song so he can play it right, and he wants to just know exactly what it is so he can just go crush it, and that comes at the expense of his feeling of wanting to crush it, meaning that he can't really be as creative with it because it doesn't, you know, from my point of view, the song doesn't exist yet. So I can't tell you how it goes. So I need you to come to the space where it's not done yet, because once you get it in your head a certain way and you know exactly how it is, well, you can't, it's done. The tracks are laid. And so when a song gets past a certain point, it's very hard to undo it. Toby had a song where we started to do it and he just started waving his hands like, stop playing, nobody play. Everybody stop playing, because it was about to lay down tracks in the wrong direction, right?
Okay.
On that one, Toby?
Yeah.
Because it was just, Toby just told us to stop. We're like, well, we'll try something different. He was just like, you guys are way off. He wasn't being mean. He was just like, he knew if we'd have kept going, you wouldn't have been able to undo that.
Right.
And then we went a different direction when we came back to it. But that was a moment where you couldn't have gotten it back. You can't really unwind it to fix it. A lot of times if you go past that point.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing to do. It's hard to, like, back out on something,
you know, or change. Yeah, I don't know.
But you cannot repeat that mistake if you can
find
it. Right, right.
Yeah. Which is the value in this exercise, if there's any, other than make fun of fools. They're bad at music and should quit.
I think there's probably a lot of active bands on the list.
Are there?
I'm not sure which ones, but they should. But the advice is always write more songs, not really go back and dissect your fucking song. Like, just write 10 more is always the
prescription. About that. I remember we had one, it was like uploaded like 10 years ago. And I was like, what are they doing? Like, what are they going to do with this advice?
That's the same people that write 400 pages of sci-fi before they ever show it to one person and they act like it's all done. And it's supposed to go to the person they show it to is supposed to love it and then go send it off to the to the publisher.
It is interesting because I bet there's a lot of people who have just written songs or had a stint of musical ideas and then they just moved on quickly. And they probably have in their mind always just kind of wondering, like, was that good? You know what I mean? Like, was that any good? Like, was there any potential in it at all? You know what I mean? I'm sure if you're creative in that way, you always kind of have that gauge in your mind. Like, am I really creative? Am I really talented at all or not?
Yeah. You can't totally always tell, though. But you sometimes people get stuff. Like, think about that song that Paul did that was we thought was funny, that Paul from Paul's Garage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like he wrote, I mean, and he's like, it didn't get finished to a, you know, whatever level, but there's, that was just kind of somebody just trying to do a song. And it was like, you could, there was something there.
Right.
I don't remember that. Yeah. Do you remember it? How did it go? It had something. It had something actually there.
Rubbed you in it.
Yeah. It was really awesome.
It was like a party song, sad drinking. Party song or something.
Remember the melody was catchy.
I can't remember.
And it was kind of amateur-y, but it's like, well, you could definitely figure out how to make that work. But, you know, it's just a song that he did on the side and did at a party or wrote for his wife or old band or something, you know. But, yeah, it's like sometimes it maybe there's stuff that you – if you'd have just really gotten it done right, it could have been something.
Play it.
God.
I'm not saying that'd be the biggest song ever, but I could hear it getting to somebody that would like it.
How did it go? You can't remember? I was trying to look it up. If people can hear it, we'll try to find it and play it. I bet Paul would send it to
us. I can almost hear it. I mean, if you leave me alone and talk about something else, I'll conjure.
Okay. We do need to read Emery Lander's names. That's one of the other perks you get if you join Emery Land, along with many others. So this week, in honor of our last show, they each pick their favorite Jimmy World song.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Can somebody, does anybody have it pulled up?
Yeah, I got the names.
You got the names. Can you read them
you
for
ready?
Me? Yep.
First one, Ryan Davis.
Lucky Denver Mint.
Nice. That's a my good favorite one.
Real good one.
That's the doon, doon, ta da doon, 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 that one, right? They played that one.
They nailed it. I mean, they nailed it.
And then at the end of the song, it switches, it reverses the beat.
Oh yeah. That's such a good song.
Cool shit.
All right. Next one. I'm Nathan Holek. I'm gonna say Holek.
What's Nathan Holek's?
Toby.
Come on.
You don't hear me?
No, no. Say it again.
I said Bleed American.
Nice.
Bleed. Oh, nice. That's
so funny.
Favorite.
Sorry. I was like, what?
I thought y'all nodded his head over there.
I thought y'all were like, no, or y'all, nobody said anything. I was like, what
must
the hell?
Have blanked great, you out there. Bleed American is probably my favorite.
Okay.
Great just, opener.
So good. Hayden Phillips.
Futures.
Very nice.
That's your favorite album, isn't it? Lunsford?
I think it is my favorite album. I think
I
think it's their strongest work. I really do.
The way he sings is good.
That was a good one.
Bleed American was fucking bad.
That harmonized.
That's a huge thing.
And then I was like, holy shit, the power of that song.
Jimmy World, like, they have
just playing the guitars. So
they're kind of a heavy band sometimes.
Yeah, they are.
They take it up, and then they always have a song on every record that's kind of like has a breakdown or something.
Just shows that they can do it. And, it's perfect.
And there's something about his vibrato that's so intriguing.
He's kind of shaky.
It just reminds
like,
you of
falling apart
in a field as a shepherd. I mean, it sounds like
it's like a shepherd. He's like calling me in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Next name, Tanner Cantacelli. Cantacelli. Cantacelli.
Yeah, we know Tanner. He's been BC Clubber and everything. Good buddy. The Middle.
Nice. Okay. I mean, it's a lot of people's favorite.
It's a good hit.
Yeah, a lot of people's favorite.
I think it's the most played of all their songs.
Yeah,
it's their biggest song.
Oh, definitely. Amanda Garcia. Good Amanda Garcia.
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 So, say it again, Tommy.
Hear You Me.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a real
I think
good
that's
one.
Dave's favorite song.
Yeah.
They play – so what's the – okay, I forgot about one of their hits. It was like – I think it was a radio hit. Is the – whoa, oh, I was spinning free. Yeah.
They played Sweetness. Yeah.
They played that one. I just hadn't listened to it in a long time, and I was like, oh, man, this song is so good.
It slaps.
What is Pain? That one seems like
Pain
it's like
is
high
their,
on the list.
It was their first single on Futures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Take How's my it go? Pain away.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. It's a minor key one.
It has a good guitar solo.
Yeah, it does.
They got, that's they're a special like band.
What are those? Like 16th notes or 32nd? Like, yeah. He does a lot like that. Like he's jerking off the guitar like as hard as he can.
Yeah.
Like all the way up the neck. Like,
there, I respect band. I mean, even though I haven't loved like the Foo Fighters as much, like they've been playing for so long. I mean, whatever. But yeah. I mean, overall, they're a tremendous band that I love. And they have a special talent. Dave Grohl has a special talent. And Jim Adkins has a special talent for making positive sounding rock music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, it's easy to make heavy, relatively speaking, and stay.
Like a little darker. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
It's definitely
yeah.
easy.
But, you know,
darker.
When Lesford said the song Futures, it's like they have that dun dun,
oh,
dun,
yes.
dun, but it's got that dude, dun, 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 dun. You know, it's just
like the heaviest, happiest thing can be.
Yeah. It's so cool that they can do that.
Yeah. Heavy, happy is tough territory.
They're, go ahead. Is there another name?
No. I was just going to say a friend that we all know. Not Lunsford, not as much, but Matt and Devin, y'all know him really well. When I was listening to Clarity, said, "Do you realize the name?" I was like, "Jimmy World." Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think, and I never even thought about Jim Adkins being Jimmy. But the person that we know goes, "No, Jimmy Eat World." J-E-W. And then just looked at me like it was something like crazy, like spiritual or about Christianity or Judaism or something. And I was like, I said, yeah, but I don't think that's anything. I don't think that's what it means, man. And he's like, I don't know, but it's serious. It's weird.
Kinda
I said,
weird.
Do you think they're Jewish? He says, I have no idea. I was like, well,
yeah, I was
know this person.
I was looking on Spotify. So the Middle, so they have 9.4 million listeners a month, which is good. That's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're big, but the Middle has 714 million.
Whoa.
And then the next biggest one is Sweetness, 154 million.
Wow. Yeah.
And then Hear You Me is next with 96 million. And then Bleed American with 84 million. All four of those off Bleed American.
Yeah,
gosh,
that record,
that was their biggest
record. They dominated
record.
On that.
Huge.
They I think it sold 2 or 3 million copies, something like that.
Can you imagine writing that record?
Golly.
Like when you just
after
like, no, we did it
after just like an iconic emo album that's you know was like the laying the foundation of like an emo, and then you come out with Bleed American,
Clarity. And they pulled it off. And that is the story behind that, too, is they were kicked off their label. Remember? Yeah. They just saved up their money and recorded Bleed American.
Yep.
And then shopped it around. And, of course, every label's like, holy shit. When you heard that, if you would be the biggest fool in the world if you didn't think that thing was going to sell. I remember That's when crazy. I heard Bleed American, it was on MTV. MTV was on. I heard this song. And I didn't know who it was because you don't find out who the band is until after. I'd never seen Jimmy Eat World, really. I mean, here or there, but, you know. And then at the end, it said Jimmy Eat World. I was like, oh, my God, they're back. And that video was so badass, just tough, everything. It was badass.
Yeah, that was awesome.
They're great.
All right. Well, we're done by Dollar Paul's song. Enough of
it. What was it?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to piss you off. Sorry, something about being an asshole, yeah. Something about the whiskey, something or another.
Fuck. What is I almost got the everything.
Right there.
I didn't mean to piss you off like that.
Yes.
You'll find the song.
I'll find it.
Damn it.
Maybe play some Jimmy Eat World to take us out today. That'd be kind of a nice little throwback, wouldn't it? Whatever.
Okay.
Lunsford, you can
pick. Oh.
Nope. I would do Work. I think Work is a good outro.
Work?
Mm, yeah. Okay.
What is that one? The fuck is that crap?
From Futures.
Yeah.
It was a single.
All right. I'll give it a chance.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. If you only once would let me, only just one time, then be happy. I think they played this like first.
Yeah, they played this early.
It's early. My number first. All right. See y'all.
See ya. Here it comes.